Any apologies?
Yes, I have a check of this morning, member. I've received an apology from the minister, and he could not attend today because he found a number of applications. And the DG accident started to on DC on attended the study group on of the PC on and Mr. F was the attendant was having to check up. Ms. Machoma was attendant from PC and Caucasian. And Ms. Kaula, she got a study group. Oh, the single, I thought she's the main teacher.
Apologies accepted?
No.
So, your mom, please.
What's the thing, isn't it?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll now open the floor to our visitors here.
Good morning, Chair, and the honorable members, and on behalf of the DCC, we appreciate the invitation to come and share our work that we do with regards to issues of transformation and the improvement in DCC. My name is Linda Chanet. I'm the acting city director general for administration. And I've got three colleagues with me. I've got Ms. Marami Manungu, who's the acting chief director for transformation program. I'm located in one of our branches that is called research and policy. And she's responsible for transformation program in the entire public sector. And I've got Ms. Mamel Mohammed to my left, who's the Director for Transformation and the Employee Health and Wellness within the department. And to my far left, I've got, now I forget. When we got the request to come and present to the we were requested to speak particularly in terms of the broadly the public service in terms of how we are performing with regards to women and senior management, and particularly in terms of the department internally. Now I will be handing over to Ms. Falani to do the presentation for us, but I thought that maybe it is important just to touch briefly on the mandate of the DCSA and how this work is located in terms of the legislative mandate. The DCSA draws its mandate from Chapter 10 of the Constitution, which states that public administration must be governed by the democratic values and principles as enshrined in the Constitution, and these include the high standards of professional ethics, that the public service must be development oriented, services must be provided impartially, that it must be accountable, transparent, and that there must be good human resources and early development, and that the public administration must be representative of the South African people with employment and management practices based on ability, objectivity, and fairness amongst others. In terms of the legislative mandate, the Minister for Public Service and Administration is responsible for establishing long-term standards that relate to the functions of the public service. They establish an organizational structure, so the Minister has to compare with the departments and the board that certain policies and one has their organizational structure to that reviewed or developed. The Minister is also responsible for labor relations, conditions of service, and other improving practices for employees. So I'm sure if you are aware, the department is the one that negotiates with labor in terms of salaries and other conditions of employment for public service. They're also responsible for the health and wellness of public service, include information management, electronic governance, integrity, ethics, conduct and anti-corruption, as it pertains to the public service. And in relation to the work that we'll be presenting today, the Minister is also responsible for the transformation, reform, innovation, and any other matters to improve the effectiveness and efficiency of the public service and how we deliver services to the citizens. So, if Chair would allow me, I would like to then hand over to Ms. Fanan. She will then also share a little bit more around the work that we do for the public service around the issues of transformation and women in admission.
Okay. Before you proceed, may I then give a chance to the members of the portfolio committee to introduce yourself. What are we next to?
My name is Denise Robinson. I'm a member of the School Service Committee and also the Shadow of the National
My name is Patricia Chum, member of the committee, the president of the
Morning everyone, my name is Maskula KSV. I'm the Deputy Shadow Minister of Women in the Presidency. I'm also the member of the committee.
Thank you very much, Chair. My name is Grace Gates, the member of this committee. We don't have shares in the industry because the
Good morning, I'm Tiffany Rinda, the leadership committee.
Good morning, I'm Pastor Edith, the Pastor Advisor.
Good morning, I'm Sharon Chava, the Pastor
Advisor. I'm Sharon Chava, the Pastor Advisor.
Thank you very much. Can we continue?
This is the shadow minister.
It means nothing to me anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And one thank you for this opportunity to come and present what the public service has been doing in terms of combining the transformation money in the public service. And Chair, let me confess that last year when this meeting was proposed,
yes.
I was really disappointed because I was at a stage where I felt maybe we needed to come here to show what was being on our side and maybe do a sharper teeth than we do to assist ourselves to move forward with this process. So I'm very happy that we're finally here.
Good.
Chair?
We can have a day.
Yeah. But before I come to the heart, as we indicated, let me tell you a little bit of what this Chief Directorate is responsible for. It is the Chief Directorate that consists of it has all people basically in the Chief Directorate that are responsible to the transformation of the public sector. It deals with issues of disability, gender, youth, and employment. And actually so far, we are aware that we have developed frameworks that we are monitoring on an annual basis. And I think it's also in one of the slides in terms of compliance on how departments are implementing those frameworks. But basically, our function is to oversee the implementation of transformation schedules and policies in the public service. And we have since also gotten support from the MS process for the CME. And I can tell you that since it became part of the MS process, we have seen a little bit of improvement in terms of compliance. And then we're also responsible for establishing forums that will engage on issues of transformation. And we also look at institutionalization of the transformational program. And most of our time, I would say 70% of our time is taken over. I don't know who's trying to compete with me. it's taken over by compiling reports, status reports in terms of implementation, in terms of how the departments are complying with the implementation of policies, etc. So on an annual basis, we have four reports that we produce. One would be on employment equity. One would be all the support that the departments are getting in terms of the HOD leading the process. We have a week at the end of August every day where the HOD needs to convene a meeting to discuss how they are transforming the public service into an international place of work, where they should discuss how they are creating a living environment. How they are implementing policies and how they are making gender in the department. And the most important is in terms of accountability. Who at the end of the day accounts for the transformation agenda in that department? And the third one, we produce a report on the implementation of the policy and procedure on the management of sexual harassment in the public service. This is a process that started last year. It is a new policy. And lastly, we always produce a report on the provision of reasonable accommodation and assistive devices in public sense. We had a quite an upheaval when we were finalizing the policy on that because we needed to provide a funding model of some kind. Because as you recall from the study by the Public Service Commission, one of the findings was that managers feel like they're appointing a person with a disability creates an added burden because they need assistive devices and they need to be accommodated. And we have been compiling those to show that the public service is providing assistive devices. And not all persons with disabilities will need those kind of things to try and do the case that it is not an issue for people to carry on. So basically, those are the things that keep us busy. When I wake up and say I'm going to work here, those are the things that keep us busy. And lastly, we do support to partners. Partners that are struggling with the implementation of the policies and frameworks. On an annual basis, we have a roster of workshops that we conduct over 2 days for all provinces and national departments. They will give a feedback on all the reports that is submitted to us. We'll do the analysis and give them feedback in terms of how they can improve, how they can retain for those that are doing well, and how we can move forward. So that's basically that and what we do in our proposal. I'm going to start with the part that deals with the public service in general, and then I will end with the EPSA, the department. But let me declare from here, chairperson, they will deal with the question. MSF 8 September 2015, we extracted this information from the staff, which gives us information on a quarterly basis. And the latest that we have already analyzed was by 8 September 2015. We had 9,976 positions that were filled at SNS level. And out of those, 4,056 were filled by female, and that is at 40.6%. I was also tempted, Chair, to give you the trend that we have been monitoring. In 2013, when we had to give the 2014, when we had to give the 20-year report, we showed that from 1994, we were somewhere at 8% in the public service with the representation of women at the government. And by 2014, we were at 39.8. We had that trend. But I believe that because of the kind of instruction that got on this, I felt that I'm not going to put it here, but I can send it to the later case. We have been observing with that kind of trend. We have 15 people in that group that is categorized as unknown. Those are people who will never declare whether they are male or female. We have that dynamic there, which we find very funny. They will say, I'm a human being. And I would have hoped that the third female would have been female, because then it would tell me we are moving in the right direction. But we have that dynamic of people who are not satisfied whether it's male or female. They are facing in the senior management.
That's it.
Facing what race?
Do they actually declare whether they are?
No, they are human beings. They don't declare whether they are male or female.
They are human beings. And they have to stay.
Okay. Yeah, so the concerning part on our side is our trend at level 16, which you know is your BG level. We only have the 28% that is representation of female. And this number has been declining. And I tell you, from 2009 we're somewhere in 2%. And now we've come to 28%, which is quite concerning. I'll come to that then get to the end.
Alright.
We'll be trying to find the reason behind this kind of thing. Women with disabilities, SMS, are only 89, but you can see that the trend, men are more, they are 83, as opposed to the 39 of women. And we also, as I indicated, have traced the representation of young people, which constitutes 5% of young people at SNS. But the interesting thing here is that we have more young women at SNS than we have the young men at 51 and 49. Representation per province, how can we lead in the representation of women at SMS at 44.7%? And this is a position that they have held in the past 4 or 5 years or so. I think in 2009 there were somewhere 38 point something, and now they are at 44.7%. KwaZulu-Natal follows at 41.9, National Department are at 41.5, the Eastern Cape is at 40.6. So we have 4 provinces there. So we have 3 provinces and the 1 National Department that are above 40. The Western Cape is at 38.7, Limpopo is at 37%, the Northwest. 36.1, Mpumalanga is at 36.0, the Northern Cape is 35.7, the Big Cape is at 34.0, and the total there is 40.6, as I indicated. We have departments that have met the 60% target. In the Eastern Cape, we have 2. In the 16th we have 1, in Gauteng we have 1, in KZN we have 3, in Limpopo we have 2, in Mpumalanga we have 1, nationally we have 6 departments, in the Northwest we have 1, in the Northern Cape we have 1, in the Western Cape we have 3, so all in all we have 1%. And the reason we took a decision to do this kind of trend analysis is for us to look at departments, or especially that are between 40 and 49, and say what it is that they can do more, because I believe these are the departments that should be able to, in the coming year or so, should be able to move into the 50% bracket. And of those, in the Eastern Cape we have 3, in the 3 states we have 2, in Gauteng we have 12, in KZN we have 4, in Limpopo we have 3, in Mpumalanga we have 4, nationally 24, Northwest is 2, the Northern Cape is 3, and Western Cape 2, so all in all we have 59. We have departments that are between 30 and 39, Eastern Cape is 6, the 3 states is 3, Gauteng is 1, KZN 6, Limpopo 6, Mpumalanga 4, nationally 13, Northwest 7, the Northern Cape 3, and the Western Cape 5. All in all, they are 53. But the most worrying for us is the group that is below 50%. Because this is the target that was supposed to have been made by 2005. This was we intended to develop a major plan to tell us what it is that we are going to do to make sure that they move out of their bracket and start moving towards 50%. In the Eastern Cape we have 2, in the 16 we have 6, in Gauteng we don't have any department that is below 80. And I can tell you, when we started the process, we had about 3 in Gauteng that were below 30. And when it started introducing the media plan, that's how they managed to move out, and now we have 0 ever. In KZN we have 1, in Limpopo we have 1, in Mpumalanga we have 3, nationally we have 1. And it's quite upsetting, because nationally we didn't have any department that was below 80%. And all of a sudden one popped out, and it is quite upsetting, because you are asking yourself, are departments getting to where they need to get by fluke, or in and so on and so on. In the Northern Cape, in the Northwest we have 1, in the Northern Cape we have 5, in the Western Cape we have 3. So all in all we have 23 departments that are below 80%. And these are departments that we are working with globally. to make sure that they develop and implement the media plan in order to move out of the 3%. This is the breakdown of the department rather than I spoke about the numbers there. In the recent case, the Office of the Senior and Women Settlement in the Free State Social Development, the Foundation of Social Development, the Laguna Guard Human Settlement, Social Development, and Transport in Limpopo is Social Development, Sports, Art and Culture. In Mpumalanga is the Social Development, in the Northwest is Economic Development, in the Northern Cape Social Development, in the Western Cape is the Health and Social Development, National Department is Art and Culture, Economic Development, National School of Government, Training, Monitoring and Evaluation, the Presidency, and Women. And Chair, we also decided that we are going to have a kind of a study. Because if you look here, even for department that are doing so bad, like the big thing, social development has made the target. And there is a trend that social development departments are meeting the target. And from the other perspective, I ask myself this question. Is it because we are still in a social development as a welfare department where only women can be appointed? That was my concern. That is what I'm always raising with department. But the funny thing is, we tend to take in and then that we traditionally see they are female-dominated. Why is it that we are not seeing the same trend? Because we should be seeing education and health,
yes,
also having more women in senior ministers than we should be doing. So that is something that I believe next time we come back to you, we should be able to check whether it's a group that is still treated as a welfare department, that only women can operate in that space, or it is because people are conscious and thinking of this target and not treating them as a group of them. And something that I also need to share, the Department of Best Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation was one of those departments that when we started was below 30%. We wrote to them, they developed a remedial plan, and they implemented it, and that is where they are. And it tells me that for departments that are committed to do remedial action, they are able to get there where they are supposed to get. Chair, I said I'm going to talk about the challenges later on, when you ask me about the level 60. And I was taking a book in. And you know that 13 and 14 will be your directors and chief directors. We had a lot of women there, but when it comes to level 15 and 16, they decline. And let me tell you what the thing is. Appointments at this level are not done in the cabinet, it's done in the cabinet. And I think that is where I tell Chair, we will need your sharper teeth to deal with this aspect. Because they are done here in Kabila. What can we do? It tells you that we're the ones that are done in the department, where the delegation is the DG or the minister in some cases or MEC. It is the thing. But the part where it is done by Kabila, we are struggling. We are not getting it. So I didn't want to throw a challenge at you, Chair. I don't, but this is the situation. What can I do?
To get the message.
Yeah, it's about it. Yeah. Chair, the next one is, you see, we have departments that they know what needs to be done, but they still don't do it. Simple compliance in terms of submitting implementation plans to say, this is what we are going to do this year. Because we have been having a very big negativity around issues of gender, disability and so on, where people have only looked at events.
Yes.
And as a DCSA, this is what we've been doing. We've been saying, the Women's Ministry, we look at your Women's Day, Jamborees and so on. We are not interested in that. Because even our reports will tell you, I don't want you to tell me about an event.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me about the programs that you are implementing.
Yeah.
That's what our framework says, look at. But provided the department is not submitting any implementation plans at the end of the day, they are not there reporting and so on. But we have been seeing a lot of improvement. Because in 2014, we had only 78 departments out of how many, 150 something, that submitted the implementation plans and reports. But that has improved. In the 2015-16, we got 101. It is not 100%, but I'm telling myself daily, our shouting on a daily basis is helping. Because that is the only way in which you are going to change the complexion. If people start dealing with the problem programmatically, not even the focus as the department ready to be. The third challenge is the support workshop that I spoke about. The attendance there. We are very clear in our invitation that we want peer managers who will be able to take business at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But the attendance is usually but you mean official. And some of them will come there and tell you, I was told this morning to come to this workshop by my senior manager and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You expect them, because you also expect them to present at this workshop, not to just come and listen to us, to present what it is that they are doing, what it is that is challenging them, how can we assist them at the TSD. And we have someone who comes and says, I was told this morning, I don't have any presentation. And that is frustrating us. And our husband there, as I indicated, is Kauteng. Is really a shining example in how when, even when they have new appointments, if they appoint somebody in this program, they will make sure that that person comes to the DPSA to come and understand what it is that they need to do. And I can tell you it is waiting for them. There are kind of initiatives that they will tell you they are implementing. It shows them that it is waiting for them. But another success, as I already indicated, is that when we started the support workshops, we were even below 40%, and our getting to 40%, I believe, is because of some of this feedback that we give to departments, and sometimes we have them to move forward. Another challenge is the staffing of units. You remember that the National Policy Framework of 2000 dictates the location, the rank, and the functions of the gender focal bonds in the department. But I'm not sure whether it was because of the monitoring processes that were not strengthened from the office that was supposed to deal with that. Up to 2000, today is 2016, but the staffing in those units, it's as diverse as they were sitting down here. It's not uniform in terms of them being in the office of the DG and so on, the levels and so on. But at the same time, I believe because we're starting out maybe in 2000, the levels were supposed to be at director level, but with the hindsight, and with the advice that we got from organizational development at the DPSA, was that we need to do the processes of job evaluation, because the mandate of departments, there are departments that will need a level above the director in order to have the impact that they have. So by saying that it should be a director level, I think we were somehow shooting ourselves in the foot. We needed to look at job evaluation that can even put for departments that are as big as education. I wouldn't expect anything less than EDG in that level. And that is the process that we have worked with our chief director that is responsible for organizational design. And we put the unit in a strategic management branch, which is under administration, under DG. But the other thing that we got shared with our monitor, we have the Eastern Cape, the Northern Cape, and the Free State. And if you go to the Northern Cape and the Free State, you'll see that they are at the bottom They are the bottom of in terms of the representation of women in SMEs. We have more departments that are sitting either in the office of the HOD or the office of the MEC. And what we've been asking ourselves is, was this just for window dressing? Because they are not doing well at all. They are not. 3 days we have about 5 departments that are sitting in the office of the DG and about 2 that are sitting in the office of the MEC. But 6 days is the one day for me on representation. So that is also another area of work that we are going to try and interrogate them and find out why it is that they are in the highest office but they are not doing so well. In order to inform the future decisions of whether it's strategic to have them there or you can have them somewhere else and have them there enough resources to do the way they are going to do.
Deputy Shadow Minister.
With the transmission of implementation plans and so on, but they are not eating their ecosystemic. And that is also another area that we want to probe further. Are you just submitting for the sake of compliance, malicious people, or you are submitting because you want to do the things that today you are going to do in the implementation plan? This is the breakdown of the compliance with the annual reporting requirements as proposed nationally. From the 101 submissions that we had on the framework, the Eastern Cape only 9 departments out of 15 submitted, the 3 states only 6 out of 12, Gauteng 9 out of 14, KwaZulu-Natal 10 out of 14, Limpopo 7 out of 12, Mpumalanga 5 out of 12, Northwest 8 out of 12, Northern Cape 11 out of 12, the Western Cape all departments submitted, national departments 23 out of 25. And the submission of the Public Service Human Management Media Report, and 10 out of 13 in the Eastern Cape, 7 out of 12 in the Free State, Housing 8 out of 14, KwaZulu-Natal 7 out of 14, Limpopo 6 out of 12, Mpumalanga 5 out of 12, the Northwest 6 out of 12, Northern Cape 10 out of 12, Western Cape all departments, National Department 82 out of 25, and all in all we had 96 reports that we submitted. Submission of sexual harassment reports, 6 out of 13 in the Eastern Cape, the Free State 10 out of 12, Gauteng 6 out of 14, KwaZulu-Natal 5 out of 14, Limpopo no department submitted. Mpumalanga 2 out of 12, Northwest 11 out of 12, Northern Cape 2 out of 12, the Western Cape all departments, National Department 16 out of 45. The attendance of workshops, in all the provinces, we target 50 delegates for all the workshops. The Eastern Cape, we have 55, and we have 14 delegates who were at FMS. In the Free State, we had 32 and only 3 were from FMS. Gauteng, we had 46 and 10 were from FMS. KwaZulu-Natal, we had 34 and no one was from FMS. Limpopo, we had 56 and only 3 were FMS. Mpumalanga, was 39, only 3 were from FMS. The Northwest, we had 40 and 8 were from FMS. The Northern Cape, there were 27 people, and there were only 2 from FMS. The Western Cape, there were 30, and then only 6 were from FMS. National Department, we targeted 100 people, and then there were 84, and then 34 from FMS. And this is the second part that deals with the department internally. In terms of gender mainstreaming for the EPS department. The department has an approved gender policy, and they also implement the gender equality strategic framework. They've been submitting plans and reports. And this before we even finalize the process, they are the first target that my administrators will phone them and say, you need to lead by example. So you need to submit these documents because I have been going out and telling departments you have not submitted when GTSA itself has it. So they have been very consistent in submitting this. And we also have various diversity forums in the department. The Women Management Forum, which is provided for in the framework itself, it expects departments to establish this forum. A gender forum, the women's forum, so that they can go and talk about their issues. And we also have the men's forum in GTSA, and it's very strong, I can tell you that. I hope the next time, Mamel, we are going to invite them to one of these workshops that you hold for them. It's very interesting. And we also have the Disability Management Forum and the Youth Forum. We have an employment equity plan that is, I believe, working because we are seeing a gradual increase in the representation, as you see with my data a focus on leadership development projects in the department. And I think last week I saw an invite from HRD in terms of mentoring and coaching, because there were people who were trained on mentorship and coaching, and then now the program needs to start being implemented well. People will choose their mentors and so on and so on. And they are also calling for another group to undergo this training. This is how we look like, the trend from 2013 up to 2016. And as I indicated, that unfortunately we lost a little bit of traction on the way, but I believe we are getting there. Because if you look in terms of numbers, it looks like we are decreasing. But when you look in terms of the percentage, from 2013 where we were at 38.8, now we are at 42.7. And these are also some of the departments that I'm also following up to say, if you are at 42.7, it means you can be able to reach the 50%. Show me how you are going to do it. The persons with disabilities, you can see that we have now met the target. We are at 2.4. So if you could meet the target here, I believe that we can meet the target at 67. This is just the same, but this is the graphic representation which I'm not going to go to. Another focal point in the department is headed by a director, as introduced here, who is also responsible for the employee health and wellness program. It's located in the corporate services branch, coaching chief director, HR and facility management. We are very thinly spread. The director has the assistant of the deputy director who coordinates the implementation of the gender equality strategic plan and diversity management in talent. And our key responsibilities are learning, training, employment, teaching and disability management, youth development, employee health and wellness service delivery improvement program, that will be the coordination and coordination of the management of the performance assessment tool. I go back to check the same.
Thanks very much for the presentation. I'll open the floor for clarity. So. That we feel that we
we have been offended by them, presented this kind of a picture. We know how serious our responsibility is, and we must take us the same. Then the second thing is that this department has a responsibility in terms of organograms. When departments pass organograms, they take them to, if I'm not mistaken, to the DBSA, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
If in the department, if the department gives me an organogram that I don't think will transform the department, why don't send it back? Why don't we send it back? You see? Because the organogram must show how many women are going to be able to fill the middle management position, how many women are going to fill the senior management position, how many disabled people are going to fill which position. And when they come back and say we are filled in this position, then we must say where are you going to fill the others? What are your time frames and all that? As long as the organogram is specific for, they are posts that are specific for that are not being filled, which are not told. We are not told yet. They are posts, which posts, senior, because we're only talking about the senior management posts. Which senior management posts are budgeted for and have not been filled, and if they are not filled by women by this time, what are the repercussions of not filling those posts? We will not be told by yourself. So you need, even yourself, you operate with no time frame, clear time frame, you have for transformation.
And then the other thing that I think she said that she's surprised that if the highest office holds in the focal point, but those focal points are not functional. I think at the beginning of the presentation she said we shot ourselves in the foot, that we agreed that we should give the directorship position. Then why are you surprised that they are not performing? Even if they are in that high position. It's because you yourself undermine the I only say people play with power. When they have power, they don't know what to do with it. You see? So you are supposed to be the one that we must tackle. You have the power to decide which position is powerful, which position is not powerful. And you know how women are undermined. So we're supposed to give them the bold position, the power position. So those gender focuses were not supposed to be in those offices in the first place. They were supposed to be where they are decision making. Because in the office of the MEC, you are not a decision maker. The MEC is. In the HOD office, you're not a decision maker, because the HOD is. But if you're a chief director in the program, then you are a decision maker. You see? So you have the power to decide which positions women have to fill. So you are there with the power. It's in your hands.
As long as it's not Windows system.
Yes.
Relevant people.
In the DG position, you must say how many DGs are going to be DGs are appointed by cabinet.
Yeah.
That one will deal with it. That one will deal with it in another level. But the power that you have when you have chief directorate, those chief directorates are supposed to be women. How many chief directorates? They shouldn't just be only on gender focal points only, you know? If you're doing it to me, I'm not an organogram specialist, but I wouldn't give them just only on that. And then the issue of gender focal points, I think we need to change that. The structure of the organograms has changed. You just have to decide the very gender. You take a decision, this thing is not making a directorship. Your organograms is not going to allow the geographical points to be at that level. And then the speed. What is the speed? of transformation. You think, no, you are cool. You know what Nathan said is that you are happy with the development. You are improving. Okay. After many years, you are happy. Finally, you are improving. So you need another 20 years and say, hey, we are just, we are what we are.
Taking off.
If you can afford that, you must develop the peace. You have that responsibility as the department. No department, even middle management. You should not only concentrate on even ourselves, we gave you only one portion of the discussion. We're supposed to talk about departments all around, from a cleaner. A person can be a cleaner for 5 years. What happens after 5 years? Where are you taking that person? That, how do you really empower? Because that's where women are, at cleaning position. They are there at the lowest position, there where they are relegated. They are 20 years down there. Don't you have a program of upgrading that? After 5 years, secretary, you are our various department in the municipality of engineering, and in that department, all women were secretaries. And I said, I don't want you to be with women anymore, in a year's time, because I've always been probably they are 10 years or 20 years being secretaries. I don't, they can be project managers. They don't need to be engineers. You see? And that's something we should develop. If you have the power that you have as CPSA, you need to say, a woman can't stay being a second part for a woman. You don't mind that one in every year. You know, you can do it without even looking at the particular thing. You know how the mind works? Even driving. If you drive the same route, you will drive that route even without thinking. You can have you can Google while you drive it. And the mind has the door for you and get you home. You see? So every day, we, if we are taking that responsibility, we must sit there and say, if there is a woman who's a second time for 5 years, that woman must move on and be developed to another level. And in the department, grow, develop a human resource.
I recognize you, Robinson. I know the hand. I know. Continue with other things. Doctor Wamara.
So I'm saying, members, they think, what do we take? Because women don't get the opportunity to be where you are. You know, it's a privilege. For you to be there, we let you fight for you to be there. So now you must ensure that you make that opportunity for women to come in. That's the thing. They won't come easy. You know, that is why she is here to represent the teaching. And when she goes to that office, she's not going to be listened to. She's here as a charity. You know, to say the teaching office was here. She doesn't have any power. So we should not play with that power, we shouldn't play with that power. We are given, use it for us who are not there to speak for ourselves. And ensure that men understand that even when you are there alone, you will speak on behalf of that woman who came in, that woman who is not there. For these women that are fired, that are given a job to do, and they're not doing it. So you have the power, especially the CPSA, has the power to tell all the departments where to get off and when to do whatever we want them to do. So we really rely on you to give us, even if it's a good opportunity that you are here to hear us. But next time, we want you to come here with your teaching, your minister, so that we tell them,
Honorable Robinson.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay.
But I wanted to commend Mama Sheryl for her fighting spirit. I think it is wonderful that she is speaking out so strongly. So I also want to say I'm glad that there are some improvements. Although it has been 20 years, it's obsessed, and that needs to carry on is a great impact. I was interested in your comment that some people are saying they belong to human race. Now that's fantastic, because whether people are LGBTI or not, they're good people, and some people may not wish to declare it. But I've also heard comments recently, there are some people objecting to say where they have to fill in a racial classification. They object to having to say, I'm Indian, I'm colored, I'm black, I'm white. And people are filling in human race and they're asking the question, are we not all one nation? So I just want to know if that has come up in place at all. Another one quickly. Yeah. Support what was said about writing a letter about something or other, and I would like to request that we write the letters for cabinet as well from the portfolio if it is possible. Just to ask why they are making all the senior appointments, is this correct, and why do we then have this imbalance? I think that it's important to do this already in Rage. And then the other one, do you also monitor such and their representation? I have found in my working community that there are very often not female officers on duty in the charge officers. When you think of the number of cases of rape and abuse, those women's dignity needs to be respected and to be treated with sensitivity, and this is not always the case. And also, what about the SDS units? I would also like to know a little bit more, if you could tell me about the men's force. And I think this is something we need to look at. We always focus on women who are abused and who are suffering. But I think it needs to be action amongst men too, the same way that Stormy Gender Justice does, that we are actually working with young boys and men too, and making this a national priority so that we can try and deal with this terrible scourge of violence against women. I think that's all
from
you for today. Thank you.
Another question? I think it's great that you have left.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the conversation. I just wanted to find out.
So far. Don't get close.
We're talking about, you mentioned that one of, I don't know if she's the one that is responsible for policy. There are policies that are actually departments and also in municipalities that actually focus on empowering women. I appreciate the fact that you're talking about, you know, employment and all that. The public sector can still make jobs. But to also look at the policies that can actually empower women when it comes to be able to take advantage, the focus of women as being advantaged in getting tenders so that they can actually be able to empower themselves. I think that is what I'm most interested in. And also, with regards to you say, okay, you have so many women or so many young people. You reach on 50% of 50-50 when it comes to youth. But I would just like to know which conditions are they in, because it's not specific which conditions are they in, and as well as disabled people. Just so that you apply. The public sector employs so many disabled people, but you don't know exactly how many people are employed. And also, what Daniel mentioned, I would like to have a remedial action to ensure that the departments are compliant. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair. And also thank you for the session. Firstly, just to indicate, Chair, that the struggles for women in education is not new.
No.
I think it's our responsibility. That's the solution of us as a sector,
you know, political parties to make sure that we fight for women to be recognized. You know, I was sharing Honorable Chu this morning that, you know, the process of elections for local government, for candidates is off. You know, I was just shocked, you know, one place there are four main candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the people who are doing the groundwork, who are doing, where they are women, in terms of the membership, they are women, in terms of the population in the country, are women, but in terms of the cause, the position of higher, you know, those of leadership power to lead this government, there will be men only. The women are the ones who are, you know, working too hard. So that's what I was sharing with Honorable Chief this morning, that, you know, the struggle for us, I mean, it's too much. And we should not see ourselves, you know, losing the fight along the way in shame. So, but I must say that, you know, the progress, you know, 50 years is too much, but as President has indicated, the progress, you know, we were saying, imagine that in before, women representation were 8%, but as of speaking, you're more than 40. But when we look at the global gender gap in it, the global gender gap index for 2015, it will tell you that South Africa is doing well in terms of productivity. We are ranked number 70 out of 145 countries. But this, you know, we should not sit back and say, yes, we are doing well. We must take the, you know, the battle forward so that we can be able to represent our women ourselves too. My first question is, you know, when you talk about your directorate, which is, and you've also outlined the with your responsibility as director, you said you are four members, but in terms of the work that you are doing, it seems as if you need more capacity, you need more human resources. I just want to check, how do you work as four personnel, you know, four people in your department? Do you manage being four in the department? And secondly, you know, like the portfolio committee, get the analysis of all departments, national departments, because you are dealing with them on a daily basis. We are oversighting the performance plan and the finances on a, you know, on a daily basis, the national department. So we'd like to get the analysis of them. Promises, yes, we've got interest, but mostly it is the responsibility also by NCOP. Yes. It's good that we have them, but we want the analysis of the national department and how we, yes, you have reflected some few departments that are doing well. But we want to see all of them, how is it, how is their performance. On the other issue, it's unfortunate, Honorable Chief, because in addition to the department head, our ministers, but also assistance in making sure that they push forward, you know, they fight for the representation of women across the board. You know, when they were telling us that the number for the statistics of women in year 15 and 16 is very low in compared to men, I said, but it isn't the responsibility of the minister, because it's sitting in the cabinet. Why can't she fight? There are other women also, even as the Minister of Women, there are other women who are sitting in the cabinet fighting for women's representation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is our responsibility, all of us, across parties, to fight for women's representation. But you know, the president has established this minister to make sure that they advocate for women's issues. That's unfortunate because there's been really structuring. They've not yet started their work, actually. So you don't know that. Or if I said them, the research channel only, but in terms of their mandate going forward, you don't know anything about it. I'm not quite sure. Maybe you'll tell it to me something. They were just started with their work. It was research channel, and we'll see maybe going forward next year whether they will take this work head on as mandated by the president to empower to make sure that all the departments including women's programs. And lastly, how would you advise, what is the recommendation for the portfolio committee? Do we need a policy? Because I was just looking at your gender mainstreaming policy, which was a table framework, which was tabled in 2006, and last year you just said a final year.
and to do in turn reviewing the policy or effort that what is this that we need to do. Because I think we must enforce compliance with the city. Do we need a legislation or the legislation that we are having as enough? You know, just in a fight to this committee in taking the matter forward. Otherwise we're going to, you know, it took more than 10, 15 years, 20 years to come at implementation of the something else. But just looking at the attendance of workshops, yes, housing will be assisted because even in terms of the workshops, the number is high, and even senior management are attending those. But I think other problems is look at nothing. The performance is bad, the representation of women is bad, the way they are supposed to attend SMS housing workshops, the senior management staff not attending those workshops. So this is something that I don't think we're going to put it right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the report. My question for two issues. The Department of Education is very worried that they are not meeting this 50% target in terms of the important measures. There are so many women teachers that are frustrated. Some of them have been on teaching for more than 3 or 5 years because of the frustration that they're taking to teach in the country. So I really would like them to check the kind of education, because really, social development can do it. Definitely, development of education can also do it. Also, what measures do you think you are going to take in terms of making sure that all these departments in the public are reporting? I was looking into some of the reports that are taking reports that are supposed to be reporting. Especially on sexual harassment. Those women will perpetually continue to be harassed for as long as you are not getting to know what progress is doing. So if you can make sure that you enforce all the departments to comply, then at least you know there can be progress in whatever work they're doing in the future.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and Sarah for being late. My question is that the department tell you why it is difficult for them to employ the people with disabilities? And maybe in future, if you will give us a report on how many people with disabilities are being employed in each and every department. The next question is, how do you see the issue of reasonable accommodation as a barrier in the employment of people with disabilities as a department and as a commission? Thank you.
What is your role in ensuring that the ministers don't just wake up one day and turn the whole program upside down without consulting the relevant? And what are your strategies in ensuring that those who don't comply with the rules set down are dealt with, not where they keep glass, because we're talking here of people's lives? And how many men are in this department? Would like to know that and their position and the reasons for not being part of your delegation today. The days for women to be safe is all gone by. Everybody has to ensure that they actually contribute. Because with time will tell you, and those men are not here, yeah, we'll check you.
So,
what I wanted also to see in this presentation was the department must give us the framework, who they are, how you are composed, and the department, before you give us what are the department, are you compliant? You know?
But the men are not here.
Yes, we department. Are they compliant? They want other people to comply. Well, that's whatever they are. Well, and then the other thing is that the education department has always been made. It's not female. It was female, you remember the policy of Bantu education was then given to be the one who teach the primary school.
Yeah. Mm.
And then the main people teaching the high school. And then the main people running their community.
So women were from class one, lower primary. And then once you get to grade 5, it was men.
Yes, if principals were
in, I still remember that.
That they were called natural or chic. So they were never in any position of power. The education department has always been run by men. In terms of administration, even the nursing, it was nursing profession for women, not for men. And then at the administration, the superintendent has always been a male person. And the doctors were male, and they were changed eventually, but they have always been the men that are in the department. So it's going to be difficult. It's endless. It's not going to be automatic. So social development was different. It was the social workers that were in charge of the welfare department. So that is why it's easy for social development to reach that target, because traditionally it has always been them in the forefront.
No, it was men.
No, I'm just saying in numbers. It's easy to pull them, because they're there in less numbers. So teachers, they were never given the responsibility to admit.
Thank you.
My questions are about the time frame. Whether do you have any time frame with regard to the organic of the department? Because sometimes we find it when you are asking the department what is happening, especially when it comes to the restructuring of the department, we find that the department will say, we have not done this because we have so much DPSA and we have been waiting for DPSA to do this and this and that. So to advise us on what are we going to do. Do we have any time frame we would like to do for the department to make sure when they are told structural, this is the time frame by this time they should be employed the relevant people, especially at the highest level. Thank you.
You're the only one that
is also Yeah, I know they don't deal with it, but after all, I did change the voice, but they will deal with the different oppression. Thank Chair and the Honourable Members. I would like you not to go question my question, because the long run, it is one thing that you are asking to me. And the first one, when it comes to consequence management. Chair, in 2012, we submitted our employment equity report to Cabinet, because we had to go back and report to them that we are not meeting the target. And there were two recommendations that were made, that HODs need to be held accountable for not meeting this target. And that also includes the time frame that they also wanted to get. And the time frame was supposed to be 2014. We went back as the GSA and spoke to our counterparts who are responsible for the PMDS of the HODs. What you see, the public service, unfortunately, is a highly regulated area where if something is not in black and white, it will never get that. Yeah, it will never get that. You can talk until you are doing the things that people will not see it. That is the part that we are currently dealing with, to work it into the PSDS, where HODs will start to account for not meeting the target. And that covers the part of what I'm doing beyond what we're supposed to do. I'm not sure, you know, about the power that you're talking about, because ministers have their own power that will decide what happens in their department and so on. And not that we do not give the necessary, for lack of a better way, advice on what the right things are. But at the end of the day, ministers will decide, this is my department and this is how we are going to do it. And I think somebody spoke about legislation, and when you spoke about legislation, we already have a lot of legislation, and I don't think it was a strategy for us to come with another set of legislation. We just need to see to it that the one that we have gets implemented. After the cabinet resolution, our minister, who was still Mr. Sisulu at the time, came back and wrote letters to premier. Our DG wrote letters to HOD to DGs in the provinces and DGs in national departments to communicate this resolution by cabinet. I'm not sure whether what we are seeing as improvement is in terms of people responding to that. We have not yet done that analysis to check whether it's because of that kind of intervention that is making us see the results that we are seeing. In terms of the organogram, unfortunately, you know, in the organogram, you don't know who is going to feel what in the organogram. And that is only monitored through the Employment Institute plan. And that is the part that I also, you know, discuss with my counterpart at the Department of Labor. Because that is where they are submitted, not to us as PSA. I always say to them, if you have an employment equity plan that looks like this, that we have these gaps in the department, these racially, gender-wise, or person-specific, this is what we need to do to move forward. But when you look at the report that is submitted, these are two different documents. The plan and the report talk a total different language. And this is what I've been saying to the Department of Labor. Unfortunately, legally, that is their responsibility, that the DPSA, I cannot share into that. But that is the only way in which we can try to deal with it. But not as the organogram, unfortunately. The organogram was only in terms of what you said about the location, the rent, and so on. These were already done. With the organization, the government. They have dealt with that aspect. As I said, now the trust is sitting at strategic management. And then the rent is going to be determined by local evaluation. Because that will depend on the money. It can't be a one size fits all. That is the part that they are indicated. Unfortunately, it is not in the present city, but that is the part that we have already done to deal with that. And the policy, unfortunately, it was not our policy. It is the policy of the former OSW, which was inherited by the women's ministry. And maybe that is the part that they need to also start their review. Currently, we are working with them on a concept document on mainstreaming, which no, for them is nationwide, and will come and deal with the aspects on localized and that's what we can do. The policy that we spoke about, you look at the consultation document, then the framework itself was approved and launched in 2008, and it only started implementation in 2009. So the review will only happen after 10 years, when we have gone through all the implementation letter reports that we are analyzing from the department to say these are the weaknesses, this is where we need to improve and so on. So the review is not going to be close by us. We will do that when the time comes for that review.
What is interesting in not doing that part of work earlier before damage is done? As part of your monitoring of what is happening in the respective department. Why can't you just jump in and say, thus far, you're offline? Because it's of no good to wait for 10 years and then come up with a remedial proposal. Then it is done, and we're talking of people. And our aim as it is to try by all means to improve the lives of those people. Now, if you prolong, it's my concern, I'm open to correction. If you prolong the period of actually saying anything, is it possible?
Yes. The review of the police will be in 10 years' time. But I indicated during my presentation that on an annual basis, we do the analysis of the implementation in terms of the implementation plans that come from the past. And that is the part of the feedback that we give the federal worship to say this is where you need to arrange and so on. But the view of the police system will be in 10 years in terms of what the budget.
I'm still actually in limbo. You get the report from this, and you can see they're offline. Now, what can stop that policy being reviewed after doing your own analysis of the outcome from the respective program? I'm talking as a late effort.
I guess you can. I think here what I'm trying to say, the problem is not the policy. The problem is implementation and department. There's nothing wrong here with the policy. The policy is very clear on what needs to be done. The problem is with implementation, and that is what we are guiding departments on. That this is, if we talk about removing barriers, these are the things that we want to do. Yeah. One aspect that we also wanted to get was the issues of empowerment. We raised the issue of empowerment. In our implementation plan, women's empowerment, yeah. There are four strategic objectives. And the last one is on economic development. That department needs to report to us that when it comes to economic development, the number of objectives are very clear. If you see the implementation plan, it will ask you, what are the programs that we are implementing as a department to look not only at women in general, we'll tell you as young women, as women in rural areas, as women with disabilities, because we cannot assume that when you say you are implementing economic empowerment development program, every woman is going to benefit the impact. So that is covered in that area. But unfortunately, the husband struggles to understand that it is not the gender focal point who can give us that information. It's in terms of online programs in a department. And that is one of the things that we go back and give feedback to departments that I don't expect the GFT to give me that information because they don't have any economic development program that they are implementing. They are coordinating. The other focus point is not implementing the program. Yeah, so those are the kind of things that we have there. We do have that. And some of the information in terms of our analysis of the public education management report, I can give you that kind of data. We have that kind of information that we can share with you. Measures to ensure compliance, I did say that we have now worked with PMDS to have it as part of the HOD's responsibility. Because in the SMS handbook, they will tell you that issues of people management only fall under the core management criteria. And we felt that was not enough, because under core management criteria, you can put 5% there as a way for how you are going to deal with it. But if it goes into their key results area, it will have to have a bigger weight than what they usually put there. Barriers in terms of disability. Yes, somebody will tell you that lack of provision of reasonable accommodation and devices created a barrier. And I believe before we came in, I raised the study of the Public Service Commission. We even had our own study that we did last year, specifically for public servants who have disabilities. And those were the things that were raised. We now have a policy on the provision of reasonable accommodation in the public service, and it was followed by a director to give it that authority. On an annual basis, we also produce a report that talks to the assistive devices and reasonable accommodation that is being provided in the family. We have that information. We can give it to you. Right now, we're out of the 1.3 million public service that we have. 9,991 are persons with disabilities. The breakdown in terms of representation at SMS, that is the 119 that I spoke about earlier. Which, if you go to our employment equity report on an annual basis, we raise those kind of things that it can't be right that you will have this number, but they are only at certain levels. Because if we said across all levels, it means also levels of senior management. So, those are things that the information is there. It is very clear. It's up to people to act on that information. And I'm very happy you gave us extra power. You say we have power.
You do have power. You are using love.
But the way we factor in the politics, I don't understand that we have the power, but I can tell you, to a limited point, but I do recommend that we have that. Can I just finish before you come in there, before I lose my check there? Recommendation to the committee. There are certain actions that we are able to do, and one of them I've pointed out, and I think Honorable also raised it, that for appointments that get at cabinet level, will be depending on to take the measure forward. And in terms of our presentation, you know, I would have loved for this presentation to have also been side by side with Women's Ministry. It's a recommendation on my part. That next time we need to get that kind of, because then they will be able to show what it is that they are being missionary. What they are being missionary is getting translated into what we are doing in the public sense. It gives a more rounded picture of what we need to be achieving with them. Because we are supporting what the bigger picture that they want to achieve, but on a smaller scale in the public sense. I'm I'm not sure, Chair, of the role of us talking ministers from, I didn't tell you the last part, but when I heard you talking ministers, it goes back to, yeah, to turn the problems upside down.
Okay.
I'm not sure, Chair, but let me share with you.
Hold it.
Okay.
The program that you agree on, and out of the blue, there's a change. And when we pose questions, GPSA has given the go-ahead. You are supposed actually to be monitoring all the things with your job. And I'm not specific here. That's why I say I'm a bit disturbed, because you people are actually handling people's kickler, forgetting what that if anything goes wrong, it's the woman down there who suffers. UPSA has a very high profile. Now, when such grave mistakes are allowed to happen, how do you expect us to look at
it? I think last year there was a directive on delegation, and which I believe we're supposed to deal with the aspect that we are using. Immediately after that, I went into one of the provinces and they told me at the workshop that our cabinet, our legislature has noted the directive of DPSA, but they are still going to deal with the appointment of. And the process that will tell you ministers need for appointment of level 1 up to 10.
Oh. Okay, good point.
Yes. And yes, this year today we have this directive that was giving this kind of delegation. Chair, let me also give the other.
That's why I asked you a direct question. What strategies do you have in place to catch such happening and then penalize the people if they are not working these things up with their things? What? Your problem now, you... What is that? No, they were still on the floor.
I will respond in terms of what we do internally as a cabinet. I think finally has alluded to the fact that in terms of HODs, which is teachers, there is the process of ensuring that the issues of gender mainstreaming are brought in a key responsibility area. Because what has happened before is that because the senior managers in general, the head of department in particular, they have never a key responsibility area. So whether they do it or not, it doesn't matter. The other issue I think Fanani has spoken about is the fact that in as much as the PSA has some level of power in terms of the Public Service Act and regulations, the reality is that the public service is decentralized. So many issues around issues of HR and related labor relations issues are actually the responsibility of the executive authority of their department, as well as the relevant HOD based on what has been delegated by the minister to the HOD or DG. So some of the things that we have put in place, maybe to the committee might not sound as harsh now, but the fact that we submit reports to cabinet, because we are then expecting the head of state to hold the minister accountable, because the other challenge is that yes, the Minister of Public Service and Administration is delegated certain powers and authority in accordance with the Public Service Act and regulations. But that in a lot of ways it is a peer to the other minister. So the fact that we elevate the court to cabinet, the intention is that the head of state must hold the minister accountable for not meeting. So in terms of intervention, it's the one which the process has actually gone to FOSAC, which is the Forum of Directors General, in terms of the revised performance management system for agencies. It will be presented to cabinet for endorsement and implementation. But internally, in terms of the department, it will be one of the measures that we are looking at implementing. But also, the unit, the directorate transformation is very active also in ensuring that before assets are sent out, we do specify who the targeted grouping is. So it is women, we do say that for this asset, women will be given preference. So we are implementing some of those things. And we will be also doing starting an initiative that also make sure that the issues of gender mainstreaming don't end with the head of department. So we will be issuing quarterly branch scorecards at the DDG level so that DDGs can be held accountable as to how they are meeting the targets internally over and above, ensuring that when they do advertise, they stick to the prescribed EE targets for their relevant program. There was a question asked about how many males are in DTSA. Between the levels of 15 and 16, which is your deputy director general and the director general, that's the group we call the executive committee, we have a total of 8 males and 1 female, who's the deputy director general. And permanently appointed, so we you can see that we it's very cute. At the level of
quiet.
I'm quiet. No, I think that the family raised area on that. Unfortunately, that the level of appointment was done by ministers. It is not it's within the authority of the head of department to make the appointment. So those are cabinet appointments where I think the request was to the portfolio committee to ensure that they also are in that regard, because from our policy mandate we cannot see that level in terms of what they're able to do. So for level 13 to 14, which is your directors, level 13, three directors is level 14, within the CTSA, we have 45 men and 6 females. If we split that further at level 14, which is chief directors, we have 12 females and 14 males, so there's a difference of 4. At the level of director, we have 29 males and 25 females. It's also a difference of 4. So at chief director and director level, the difference is 4, and I hear one member saying that is also too much. The delegation chair, I'm trying to actually answer this one. The reality is that the delegation that is asked here is in relation of our functionality or responsibilities in the department. So it happens that Banani is a female and she's the senior manager responsible for transformation for the public service. Mandelo being responsible for the same function but internally, and myself, I just happen to be the acting DG for corporate services or administration, but my actual job is the chief director, manager of the office of the DG, responsible for strategic planning. So,
you're managing for a man.
I manage the office of the DG.
Amen.
Who is a man? Yes. So yeah. I don't know how else to respond to the questions that we are facing. That we are here because it's part of the work that we are doing anyway in the department. I will ask Umanelo just to talk a little bit more about the MED Forum as one of the initiatives that we've implemented in the department. I think where we still need to grow is how we integrate the issue that are dealt at the main forum is part of the broader agenda mainstreaming discussions, but we are slowly getting there because I think it was an achievement in itself to be able to get men to sit together and deal with the issues that some of them are impacting on the issue of inequality. But I think the next step is how we begin to integrate the forums that we have, which is the men forum and the women forum, to jointly begin discussion, because I think historically issues of gender have been women only. And I think as we look at the progression of Asian feminism, there's a realization that you can't deal with women only to deal with the issues of women, because the issues that are underlying issues of patriarchy, and without changing the thinking of men, you never go anywhere. So I think we are trying to also realize that we need to evolve in how internally the department with the issues of gender and transformation. That, when I was working in the space a long time ago, one of the things that I heard that was very profound is that if you focus on issues of women, by only focusing on women, they're actually telling women that they need to go and get power from someone else. Whereas the reality is that you need to teach women to use the power that they inherently have. And I think that is the evolution that we are trying to look at how to refocus the work that we do within the department around issues of women and women. So if I can ask Manilo maybe just to talk a little bit more about what are some of the things that are done at this men's forum and how are they contributing to issues of gender, men's
and everybody. Well, today there was a hand from one of the portfolio members.
I'm just focusing on the category. Okay, thank you, Shane. You know, I just want to find out, like, if you are not complying, how do you assess the department to comply? Oh, okay, that's one question. Mm-hmm. And who are you accountable to? Because now you are being the other department to make sure that they comply, but you are not complying. But who's looking to you not comply?
Mm-hmm.
Also, the other thing is, like, your presentation, your way of explanation, it has made me think that your presentation is very vague. Because what we are doing here at the committee, we invite the different departments, and we interrogate them based on equity for women, empowerment, making sure that, you know, they comply according to policies. But I would really like to the chairperson that when you come back again, if it's possible that you can tell us how many vacancies the public sector has in total, how many have been filled, and also what remedial action are going to make sure that those that are filled, that are not filled, they're actually filled by women. And also, we are talking about, you said social development is doing very well, but it's not doing well throughout the country. There are three provinces where social development is not it's not doing that well in terms of employment of women. And we have 2,000 social workers that are sitting at home, vacancies that are not filled. So I just want to find out what they're doing about that. Is there anything that you can actually do to make sure that you push that? And also, as I said, we have departments. So if we work in synergy, like in a sense, we say to us, this department doesn't comply with this policy. So when we invite that department and comes and sit for this committee, we can actually operate them on that policy. Okay, what is it that you're doing to ensure that you are complying with that policy? Thank you.
Just hold on. Just a pity that we've got another department that's supposed to be now, you know, actually taking the school. But I think you've got enough homework on your hands, and really, we are demanding that when you come back, it's a demand, not a pity. You actually have relevant answers to that question. They are actually needling us, and we can't sit back. We have to come up with remedial action. And that should happen pronto.
So, honorable members, I'm not sure we can take more questions because we're running out of time. There's another department here.
My question, particularly about the male sport, could we have a written report soon and not wait until they appear again? I think if we could have that within the next week or so, whatever is possible, that would help. Even if it's just short, but that they have the feedback and it's difficult to know how long we're going to wait before they appear again.
And if you read through, if you read through, you'll find that there is a male who was very much involved in gender issues, and that is Mafana Kuma. So this thing of men is not something new. And the men that are coming up right now are entrenching pressure.
Actually, we're not fighting men and women. It's a system that we're fighting. So there's nothing like getting something from somewhere. We are ruled by a system. The socialization that is ruling all of us, men and women, is a system of oppression.
Yeah.
And that system thrives out of women's oppression. One of its pillars is to oppress women. So that's what many people must understand. They are also oppressed. Because they think that they are not oppressed in the system. They are oppressed. So it is good that engaging them. But it is also their responsibility to go out of that oppression with us. You see? So when you teach them that one person oppresses the other, it's like black and white. White people are oppressed because they think that they are superior than African people. And African people think that they are oppressed. Both of them are oppressed by a system of racism. You see? So, you need to take both of them out of the system for them to be free. It's the same. Racism and racism, it's that both of them are oppression. So, all of us must understand it in that context. We are taking away the system that oppresses both of us. And all of us have to go out and become liberated. But women are mostly oppressed. And if you understand it in that context, then you will understand how to deal with patriarchy. You see? It's not an equation of muscles. Because when you vulgarize the issue of equality, then you make women work and dig the ground. You see? They don't have the muscles to dig the ground. They have the same brain as the people. They give birth. If they dig the ground, they'll be civilized. You see? So, all those things must be taken into consideration. The waking hours. How do you give women and men waking hours? You know, you give women waking hours to come in the morning at 3 a.m. because men people come at 3. That is vulgarizing equality. And all those things have to be taken into consideration. And those are your responsibilities. And I'm saying, how is the people talking about it? That in the organogram, you can say, the top management, there are 5 positions. In those 5 positions, you need 3 female or 4 female. You can write that. And compare departments to come with those. And say, here, why do you give female? Or disability people, we want disability in this level, we want disability in this level. You can say that. Nothing stops you from this. You have the power to determine to every department and say, in this level, we want how many females, we want how many men. That's all that we think about others.
And
yeah,
they're
giving it
ones
who will deal with
them,
but those
ones
that you have, use them.
No, I need to add on the homework that you have been giving them. The list of the staff members that are being paid while they are at home instead of being at work because of some circumstances between the departments.
You know what, when you find it in a focal point, you said it in a coordinator, and that's a contrast with the actually has a different definition of gender focal point. But I find it difficult to understand how that, when you define it, it's very different from the Beijing Federal Measure. should actually, if they're still talking about, they're still talking about saying coordinating. They're not coordinating. They're supposed to make sure that the programs of women empowerment get implemented. It's supposed to be budgeted. It's supposed to be a budget allocated for them. For them to be actually be able to ensure that there's implementation of agenda in the working department. And also, they have to be in the highest office. So we have to find out why is it that they have the power, and but they're not utilizing the power. But not to say that they're coordinating, because coordinating is really broad. How do you say somebody is coordinating? I can be coordinating something, but really not achieving anything. You know, so if you can just tell us, I think it works.
Thanks very much. I think actually, thanks very much. I think some of the questions you can actually answer them. Send us email immediately because there's a lot. To be honest, the gray area is very wide. And that's the one way to actually try and clean up. By saying so, I am not discouraging you in the good what you do. There are always great areas in whatever you do. And we hope to then hear from you soon. Thanks very much.
I also made a comment on the analysis formation of the school that you got the course of the
year.
If somebody asked if you have a
financial deadline
by which
we need to be able to support
it, I could start tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Sure.
Within a week?
No, you say it closes, but we are working. We're not sitting at the beach. No, go send it to her.
Thank you. I don't know.